Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thought, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.
Hey, good evening, Columbus, Georgia. It is 6:01 p.m. right here in the Valley area, Tri-City area, Columbus, Kings City, Fort Benning. We're also closely connected to places like Hamilton, Pine Mountains, and Midland, Georgia, and other surrounding areas. And we just want to say good evening and welcome to our show tonight. Last night, I mentioned something. Apostle Teresa Weddle called in. Thanks to her once again for calling in. But I mentioned something last night about all the negative news going on in the Valley area and around the country, you know, but we only got this place and this time to deal with. And a friend of mine from Virginia posted something on that made me think. So tonight we're going to address the topic, and then we're going to prepare ourselves to get ready tomorrow night for a guest. We have some good stuff coming at us. Tanza Sheree Ali, some people know as Tanza Thomas, will be talking about her current work in the Tri-City area. She remains politically active and advanced, as always, so we're looking forward to her being our guest tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on Fountain City Radio. But what was posted on my Facebook page, to get back to the topic at hand, was from my sister in Virginia, who basically said, for the most part, if parents don't get a grip and stop defending the actions of their badly behaved children, one day they're going to have to hire an attorney to do their defense for them. And it got me to thinking about why in the world people allow their children to behave so badly, and then it's allowed and it's everybody's fault except their own. Okay, it's not the child's fault. It's everybody's fault except the child who behaved badly. And how the parents are not holding the children responsible. But at the time, the truth is that the parents are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Being accused of abuse for so much as pulling a switch down off a tree. You know, when we was kids, we grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I'm sure the generations before us also got their behinds beat on a regular, but we got hit with some of everything. Switches, shoes, rope, belt, straps, leather straps off of barber straps. I said straps, not straps, straps off of barber chairs. You know, those leather things that they would sharpen the blade on to cut men's whiskers and give them a shave, clean shave and everything. Those straps that they would sharpen the blade on, we got beat with those. I had a teacher when I was in junior high school who used to throw her shoes at us. slapped, punched, and some of everything else. And this is not me advocating for child abuse by any stretch of the imagination. But when we got our butts beat, we got our butts beat. And almost nothing was off limits within the confines of not abusing a child to the point where you put marks on them, where you break something, where you cut their skin, cut the flesh, or break a jaw, or break a bone, or try to drown them, or, you know, come close to murdering them. That was off limits. But other than that, you disciplined whatever kind of way you felt like you needed to discipline that child. And we got hit with I mean, switches is not even the worst thing that a child can be hit with nowadays, but I understand where the parents are when they can't discipline their children, can't even hit them with a switch. And when I say hit, I mean just light tap or a little switching. But then everybody's got something to say. Oh, you abuse a child. Oh, you abuse my poor, poor, poor child. And then one day, that undisciplined child that the parent couldn't hit with a switch or spank with their hand or do anything to them in the disciplinary measures. Because sometimes children just are not going to listen to a conversation, and then, you know, some children don't pay a whole lot of mind to being stuck in a corner and have their things taken away and told they're on punishment, because they know it's only a matter of time before they get their stuff back. And they're going to get it back eventually because mom or dad or whatever is going to start feeling sorry for them. But then they grow up one day and they're accustomed to this, not ever having to face any consequences, not ever having to feel any real pain for the stuff that they've done. Everything is a joke. They can call the police on you for so much as getting a lash to them or whatever, or taking them to the shed, taking them to the woodshed. Andy Griffith talked about that a lot. Opie used to go to the woodshed on a regular on the Andy Griffith show. So it wasn't just black people beating their children. White people would do it too. And when you got a spanking, when you got taken to the woodshed, that was just that. And usually it was a belt, sometimes a shoe, but whatever the case, then one day these undisciplined children that you'll go to jail for just for hitting them with a switch get so out of hand that they turn around and start doing things and not knowing that there are consequences for their actions. And one day they have a run-in with the police and they think that they can just talk to the police any kind of way. They think they can just do anything they want to the police, that they can just throw a tantrum on the police, and then the police turns around and jaw jacks them and beats the living stew out of them and knocks them all the way to freak out, and then gets to the point where they stomp them, crushing their ribs, darn near knocking their heads off their shoulders, spraying them with tear gas and every other kind of gas you can think of, tasing them and some of everything else. Nobody says a word. I mean, we've seen those cases where this school officer walked into a classroom, unruly child, probably used to getting her way, doing what she wanted to do. The teacher tells her to put the cell phone down and she's like, hey, 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 or whatever, got an attitude. And the school officer comes in, tells her to put down the phone. She's still refusing, like, you can't make me do nothing. And you better not put your hands on me either. And then the cop jacks her up. I mean, jacks her up to everybody's recording on their cell phones. The fact that the cop pulled her out of that chair and just really basically beat the stew out of her. For the most part, pulled her out of the chair and started dragging her, practically dragging her like a caveman by her head. And so you don't never know what's going to set a police officer off, especially some of the younger ones, some of the untrained ones, some of the ones that'll pull that trigger finger real quick because they haven't yet learned to assess a situation before they go on a killing spree. You know what we're dealing with out here. And then when the cops finally get around to beating a stew out of them, where their parents weren't allowed to discipline them as children and help them to understand the consequences of their behavior, nobody says a word. I mean, here lately, just in the last couple of years, we've had people marching around all over the country hollering Black Lives Matter, but, you know, I've dealt with that situation before. It doesn't seem like Black Lives Matter too much to black people. Because we've seen black folks kill each other and do each other all kind of wrong, too. And until black lives start mattering to us, there's not much of a point in us trying to convince anybody else. But you can't discipline your own child. You get stuck between a rock and a hard place, and then one day they get into a run-in with the cops, and they have no structure. And the cop beats the royal holy slop out of them, and nobody says nothing. Why do we wait until the cops beat our children and all of a sudden get silent on abuse? I mean, don't you think a police officer beating up a 13 or 14-year-old girl and dragging her out of a chair and dragging her by her hair or slapping her or jaw-jacking her or whatever, isn't that abusive? Especially to a minor child. But we're talking about children also who don't have any home training, ain't not disciplined at home, and they become a problem in society because they don't understand respect. They don't understand where the lines are drawn. They don't understand, really, not to go overboard. And some children, if you don't inflict just a little pain on them, just enough to teach them a little lesson, they have a tendency to think this just doing whatever you want to do, throwing fits and all this other kind of stuff is okay. And when they become adults, they haven't mastered the art of knowing where they cross the line. And then they cross it. And then they catch a beat down by a police officer and nobody says a word. When most of the time, by the time they have an altercation with the police, it's worse than a spanking that they would have gotten at home. It really is. They end up getting to the point where they either get killed or they come close enough. And nobody has a word to say when their children are being beat to death by the police officers in the system. But, hey, you can't spank that child. They're not spanking because them same police officers that are beating to death will put you in jail. You know, what kind of message is that sending? And you can't spank your own child, but the cop that can beat them to death can lock you up for spanking your own child. It's crazy. And there have been parents who have gone overboard, over the limitations, really, of what corporal punishment is in disciplining their children. There are parents who have abused their children and darn near beat them to death. But, you know, at the end of the day, if the child is going to get to the point where somebody feels like they have to jack them up like that, I'll be honest with you, six of one, half a dozen of the other, if they're going to get beat down and killed like that, better the parent do it, because it's like, hey, I brought you here, I can take you out. You know, I brought you here, I'll take you out. And it's strange how that comes out, sounding like I'm okay in it when I'm really not. It's not okay in either case. Not okay for a parent to beat the child to death. It's not okay for a police officer to do it either. But one instance gets one reaction and the other instance gets another. And so if you're not going to react when the police beat them to death, don't react when the parents do it. Because, you know, most of the time, not all the time, as we've seen situations that have gotten extreme with parental discipline, but most of the time, parent isn't going to try to kill the child. They get hurt pretty badly. Sometimes they just get their little feelings hurt. But most of the time, a parent is just not out for blood. It has happened. It can happen. Unfortunately, sad as it is to say, it'll happen again. But the end game on that is somebody got to beat him to death, better the person that brought him in the world. And that ain't saying nothing, because that's a hard thing to have to, that's a harsh reality that we have to deal with in this world. So if you continue to defend your child's wrong behavior, one day you will pay an attorney to do the same, or you'll be paying a mortuary to bury him. and put them in the ground. Because where you couldn't discipline them, somebody else will. So we need to talk about laws on corporal punishment when it comes to parents. How far is too far when a child really needs to have just a little bit of pain inflicted on them? What is abuse? How far, you know, because, you know, coming from somebody who got beat with everything, when I was a child and grew up really without a mark on me and sitting down talking to some of my friends about the beatings we used to get when we were children or the spankings or the whippings or whatever you want to call them later on in life, we grew up to really start to laugh about that thing. I mean, it sometimes it would get hysterical talking about some when the mothers would come to the classroom and the teacher would call the mother to the classroom and the child was more scared of the mother than they were of the teacher. And the mother coming in beat their little behind right in front of the whole classroom. And now, you know, there's this big thing going around about bullying and all this other kind of stuff. But we used to just ridicule one another. It was, to us, it was funny. You know, we grew up without those marks and scars as long as it didn't go overboard. And we didn't grow up with any mental health issues behind that. I mean, everybody got their behind beat. It was just acceptable. I mean, Joe Jackson really wasn't as abusive as people tried to make him out to be. Some people frown up their face about parents whipping their children, but like I said, don't mind the cops kicking the crap out of them when the child just doesn't understand where lines need to be drawn. And it reminds me of a funny story that I read in the John Grisham novel, A Painted House. In A Painted House, John Grisham is basically talking about, let me do a housekeeping chore real quick. The guest call-in number is 515-602-9677. Press 1 for permission to speak, please. Once again, the guest call-in number is 515-602-9677. Press 1 for permission to speak. But in A Painted House, John Grisham was, well, I don't know who's read it, who's planning on reading it. It's a little spoiler in here, so don't be angry. If you don't want to hear the spoiler, just blot me out for a minute. But in this book, it's the story told from the perspective of a little boy who's about 9 years old growing up out in the sticks, where all they really had for entertainment was those little box radios with the dials on them, blah, blah, blah. Story short, the story has something to do with some city slickers who came to visit his mother and father out in the country, and the wife of the uncle, I believe it was, who had to go to the toilet, and when they told her there was no indoor plumbing, and she was going to have to go to the outhouse, she, of course, got all twisted in her head about going to the outhouse and wanted her husband to just leave immediately and drive her back to the city like she was going to make it back to the city if she had to go that badly. And finally, he turns around and looks at her because he grew up in the sticks. So he knows what an outhouse is, but she ain't never seen one. She ain't never had to use one. Long story short, she finally makes her way out to the outhouse and don't know what she had to do, one, two, twos and ones, whatever the case was, while she's locked up in the outhouse with the door closed, of course, and even in broad daylight, those outhouses would be pitch black, dark once you close that door and hook that latch. And I'm not talking like a professional or nothing because I didn't grow up with an outhouse, but I've been in one at a family reunion that we had in a deep part of Alabama, down near Steele, Alabama. So I've been in one, so I can remember it and describe it. Squat out of me, but you can imagine she's behind the door. The latch is on. You can't see nothing but a sliver of light probably coming through the top, where there's probably a hole in the roof of the outhouse. And the little boy walks her out there, promises to stand guard outside so she can do whatever it is she got to do. And as she takes her pants down and begins her processing, he starts saying something, but you really need to look out for the S-snake, basically, shit snake. He told her something about some shit snakes, and boy, when he says something, she's like, what? And right in the middle of whatever it was she was doing, he said something about shit snakes. She believed it, and right in the middle of whatever she was doing, draws down and everything, she comes flying out of that outhouse, screaming her head off, howling about shit snakes, and everybody's looking at her like, what are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. And of course, whatever, she was in midstream or mid-poop, I don't know, but her drawers are down. And she says she's trembling and crying and talking about how the son done said something to her about some shit snakes, and she got scared and blah, blah, blah. And so there's nothing going on as far as the parents are concerned. The mother's trying to calm the wife down. The husband's trying to calm the wife down. And the father's sitting there with this stone look on his face. Excuse me. Like he's not even about to react to this thing. And they wait until they get her calmed down and whatever else she got to do to get herself cleaned up so she can get in the car and get that ride back, because now they're really leaving. And they're sitting down at the dinner table, and the father has no sense of humor. You never hear anything in the story about him laughing. The only thing, excuse me, his son ever says about him is how staunch and how stone-faced and how hardcore he is, and how, this boy is always about getting that butt whipping, and, you know, he knows that he's in trouble. He understands that he's in trouble. And so the father is sitting at the dinner table, and right when they're about to start eating or whatever, he looks at his son, and he starts falling out laughing. This stone, staunch-faced man who don't laugh, don't have a sense of humor, don't seem to find nothing funny in the world about nothing, starts dying laughing. The little boy describes his father was laughing so hard he was shaking in his boots. He was like, he was screaming about this boy, frightening the heck out of that woman right in the middle of her doing her business, talking about a freaking shit snake. And when he got done laughing, he turned around and looked at his son after he got it out of his system, and he said, this is an ass whooping, right? you might as well, because his son was laughing too, like, hey, that was pretty funny, wasn't it? And the father was like, this is an ass whooping, right? You know what you got coming, because you ain't had no business doing that. And he took him out to the woodshed and beat the sloppy stew out of him, is all I can say. Lesson learned. But that boy got his butt beat something fierce. But for the first time in his life, he took that butt whipping like a champ, though, because for the first time in his life, he actually made his dad laugh. And that was something that he had never been able to do before. So I say that to say this, if you're not the type of parent who's prone to sit there and just beat the stew out of your child to the point where you kill them, or you're not trying to kill them, or whatever the case may be, with your child, I'm sorry, I got distracted for a minute, sometimes a good butt whipping is in order. Sometimes a good butt whipping is just in order. You ain't got to kill them. You ain't got to drown them. You ain't got to put their head in the toilet and do a swirly. You don't have to cut their skin or bruise the flesh or break a bone or anything like that. But sometimes a butt whipping is just in order. There's limits. There's limits, and we shouldn't let any laws dictate to us that we can't inject a little corporal punishment on our children, especially children of color in this country who are so at risk of ultimately being bullied, harassed, beaten to death, and shot and killed by a police officer for doing the kind of things that they don't understand. They shouldn't have done that, or they crossed the line. Now, granted, there's some situations out there where cops just got tricky trigger fingers. They came to kill, and they didn't care whether their child was doing something or not. They came to kill them. And those situations are egregiously wrong. But at the same time, that's where you cross the line, gone overboard. And so, you know, as far as discipline our children is concerned, don't wait for the cops to get their hands on them. And don't let the laws around you, don't allow anybody to dictate the laws around you that you can't administer a little corporal punishment to your child when and where necessary, as long as you don't get to the point where you think you're going to cut something or break something or kill them. Understand that your laws shouldn't even be allowed to dictate that you can't administer corporal punishment as necessary, be it a hand spanking, a switch, a little, well, something that stings. So they get it. This is not a joke. It's not a joke when it's at home. There's only so far you can go. And it most assuredly is not a joke when some child is smarted off on a cop or crossed the line some kind of way and ends up getting their head stomped into the ground. And at that point, nobody says nothing. Nobody says nothing. Nobody can't do anything. It's over. And the child learns respect out in the street dealing with a police officer instead of where they should have learned it, at home. Now, don't take anything, you're not taking anything away from the ones who are killed just for no reason at all, because it's just a good day to kill. That's not the topic here. It's about corporal punishment and parents. So we're going to sign off tonight. We're about a minute and a half down on the show, getting ready to sign out of Fountain City Radio for this evening. We're looking forward to speaking with Taza Thomas, Taza Sari Ali, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And we'll see you tomorrow night on the next edition of Fountain City Radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Godspeed. Good night.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thoughts, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on.